Hello and welcome back to Here Come the Sun. I'm your host, Sean Gauthier, and this is part two of our playoffs preview. Today is game one of the WNBA playoffs, and the Sun are facing the Indiana Fever at home at the Mohegan Sun Arena. On Friday, I sat down with Emily Adams of the Hartford Current and got her take on this exciting first-round matchup and her predictions for how it will play out. Here's my interview with Emily.
Okay, so special guest on the show, I'm so excited to say that Emily Adams from the Hartford Current is joining us. Emily, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Excited to make a debut.
I know we were just chatting before hitting record and I said it, but like, while this is your first time literally on the show, it's maybe the 100th time we've said your name. So I'm very excited to have you here and, you know, speaking for yourself, and I'm not just quoting you and linking to your story in the notes.
Yeah. Face to the byline.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously, you know, we're 2 days away from the start of the first round of the WNBA playoffs. Sun are playing the Fever. How excited are you for this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, from a storyline perspective, like for me as a reporter, you really couldn't have asked for much more than getting Indy in the first round. I mean, it starts with the Fever opened their season against the Sun at Mohegan, and they will now open their first postseason against the Sun at Mohegan. This series has been so interesting throughout the year, both kind of from a basketball perspective and obviously also interpersonally. I think it's such an ideal draw from a hype perspective. Like I am expecting we're going to see viewership records and things with this that, you know, are not just a result of who plays for Indiana, but are a result of this matchup. I feel like it's been one of the biggest storylines of the season. So it's cool to see them land in these spots when it didn't look like that was going to happen a couple weeks ago. And we've sort of ended up here by the will of the basketball gods, I guess.
Yeah, truly. And it does seem to me like this is, and like you said, not just because of who's playing for the Fever, but this is the first round matchup, right? I mean, this is also probably the most competitive one, the one where there's the, you know, the least, we have the, like, the least knowing what's gonna come out of it. I had Noah Dalzell on the show, and we were talking about this too, and she was saying the same thing, like, this is the matchup where you don't really know how it's gonna go. So yeah, this one will be exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Vegas Storm is a sleeper. I think that one's gonna be more competitive than people think, just because the Aces are so chaotic right now. But yeah, I mean, I think those two middle matchups are really, really good in the first round, and I feel like we haven't gotten that in a little while where it's felt this sort of top to bottom competitive.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is a Sun show, but just a quick aside on the Storm. when I was doing my pre-preview, we had a listener call in and leave a voicemail asking about the potential matchups. And so last episode, I did like a pre-preview talking about, you know, each of the potential matchups. And I said on that show that I think that the Storm was going to be the hardest one basketball-wise. I was like, that addition of Gabby Williams just like skyrocketed that team. And they're a team to watch for sure.
Yeah, I'm very in on them right now. They are my sleeper pick for sure.
Before I get into the specifics of this matchup, actually, I literally right before jumping on read your piece in the Current about Dejounte Carrington and Ty Harris and that backcourt pair. I know that's a subscriber exclusive, so make sure you're subscribed to the Current to get that piece. But do you want to talk a little bit about that? Give everyone a little preview so they can go click subscribe.
Yeah, that was so fun. I mean, Ty and Dejounte, I think, are really kind of, you know, as much as the big three are kind of the heart of the team, I feel like those two really are. You know, Steph has been calling Dejounte the juice the last couple games, and I think that's a very accurate way to describe both her and Ty, and I think Marina has kind of taken on a little bit of that as well, and they've kind of become a trio. But yeah, Dejounte and Ty spent the offseason together in Connecticut. Neither of them went overseas, both of them kind of dealing with some health stuff. And that really strengthened their connection a lot. And I think, you know, we've seen it on the court this year. I know that that Boston game at TD Garden is when I actually started working on this, because that was such a fun kind of game between the two of them. And Dejanay, I think, really brings out a side of Ty that she doesn't have in her day-to-day life. So yeah, it was really fun to talk to the two of them about that, and just about kind of the way that they've been able to go through this experience of starting for the first time together, and how it's helped them kind of get through it.
Yeah, I feel like it was in that game, after Ty hit that buzzer beater three. Was that the one where Ty was like had the threes up, and then Dejanay came up for like the chest bump and nearly stomping cleaned off her it. Feet? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's so good. Oh my god.
And that moment to me is, I mean, so quintessentially their relationship. So yeah, I mean, they're just such fun energy to be around.
Oh, that's great. Well, getting into you know, this Sun Fever matchup, you know, I was wondering if you can, this is such a reportery question, but I'm wondering, who do you think is the most important player for the Sun in terms of, you know, in terms of this matchup?
Yeah, I think as much as like the answer is sort of Dejanay, I think honestly, the Dejanay Caitlin matchup matters a lot less in this game than it has in all of the previous ones, quite honestly. I think Kelsey Mitchell right now is the one who's scary to me in terms of, you know, Indiana's most dangerous when they're outscoring you. And the Sun are the most likely to lose to a team that can outscore you. So I think, you know, the biggest thing for them is not necessarily stopping Indiana, because I don't know how much you're capable of doing that when you have Kelsey and Caitlin both hitting the way that they have been. I think you need Marina. And I think you need Marina to hit from three early and often. You know, I think the defensive side of things has never been a problem for the Sun. I don't think it's going to be a problem against the Fever because they're so young. I think that's why they've struggled with it. You know, even in that game that they won, it, you know, there were runs in that game. There were lulls in that game. There were shooting slumps. So, you know, I think if this matchup gets weird, what the Sun are going to need is points. And I think Marina is your best option to do that in a momentum building way. You know, I think Ty has been more of a clutch shooter to me. Like when they need a three, Ty is going to go hit it. Mm-hmm. But Marina is the one who's going to kind of hit two or three or four of them in succession and put a game out of reach. So I think to me, if they can get her rolling, that gives them the best chance to match Indiana.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that too, watching the last game of the season. Marina hit that, just like, she just kind of strolled up the court, hit that transition three late in that game, and that game was kind of already put to bed, but I was watching that and I was like, oh, we're gonna need that. Like, we're gonna need her to just kind of like shrug her shoulders, take the ball and just like heave it, make her shots like she normally does. So yeah, that's such a good point.
And it's the attitude too for me. Like, I think that you need that sort of like grittiness, I think, against Indiana. Like, it's why I think Dejanay matches up so well with them. And it's why, you know, I think I talk about this a little bit in the story we were just talking about. Like, Ty is a much more sort of even keeled, keep everything level. And you need that sometimes. But I think with Indiana, who wants to run fast and wants to be aggressive and is very young and chippy and high energy, someone like Marina kind of gives you a vibe that you need to handle that.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Yeah, especially you think back to that glorious interaction that we've all seen the gif from of Marina and Dejanay, right? Like, you need that energy on the team. You need it sometimes. I also want to talk a bit about the vets on the team. You know, our core three, Bonner, Thomas, and Jones. You know, I in my pre-preview, I talked about some of the advantages that the Sun have going into this matchup, and one of them is very obviously their veterans. I mean, this team's been to the playoffs every season since before I started watching the team, and they've been there the entire time I've been here, been a fan. So, you know, how much do you think that is an advantage, that veteran experience, and you know, how much do you think the team's going to need to really lean on that experience from those three?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, I think, you know, it's been really helpful for them that the bench has been more productive and more consistent, especially like the last week or two. But when it comes down to it, you know, if you're in a crunch time scenario, you want the ball in AT Breezy or DB's hands. And I think Steph will tell you that every day of the week. And I think every player on that roster will tell you that every day of the week. You know, I think especially, you know, when you look at AT Breezy and DB, you know, all three of them are free agents in a month. You know, DB, the end of her career is a lot closer than the beginning is. And she's mm-hmm. said as much, you know, I feel like we're sort of on a year to year basis with her, like we've been with Tarazi for the last couple of years now. And with DB, you know, that I think raises questions about AT too, you know, wherever she ends up. So, you know, this feels like kind of a closing window and a last hurrah for them. And I think that's a lot more impactful for, you know, that group who's been together, you know, DB obviously not for the whole time, but AT and Breezy have played together for 7 years now, all on this team, all making the playoffs, trying to get over that hump. So I think, you know, if anything's going to push them over that edge, it's going to be sort of that psychological aspect of it, of knowing that this is kind of the last chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point. And it's, as a fan, I absolutely don't even want to think about it. I refuse to accept it, but you know, it does, it is the truth. You know, I mean, I started going to Sun games, I think in 2022. I think that was the year. No, maybe 21.
Yeah, that was, I was gonna say 22 was the finals run.
So it was the year before. It was the 21 year. Yeah. I'm also was working on, I spent a long time working in political campaigns. So I was sitting here thinking in my head, which campaign was it? But yeah, so it was 21. And it was really like watching Dawana Bonner in the playoffs, at Mohegan. And I was like, I love this team so much. I'm going to watch this team forever. So yeah, even the thought of free agency, I'm like, I refuse to think about it until I absolutely have to, but you're so right. Like, in terms of the window closing and, you know, the, you know, getting ready for whatever the next phase of what this team might be, this is an important time to really show up and show out. To get off this topic before I get really sad on this podcast, one thing that I said before and I was talking to Noah about too is the how big home court advantage is in this series. The Sun hosting the first two games. How important is that, do you think? How important is it not to have to play at Gamebridge, hopefully at all, but maybe, you know, at least not having to play there twice?
Yeah, huge. I mean, I think it's telling that the Suns' loss to the Fever is at Gamebridge, and the two games at Gamebridge have been much, much closer than the two that they played at Mohegan. And that goes for, you know, obviously the second game at Gamebridge came since the break. Everybody's been different since the break. But, you know, I think that margin of victory for the Sun being so drastically bigger in those two Mohegan games is pretty telling. And I think it's mostly, I mean, Gamebridge is a really hard place to play, especially this year. You know, I think it's, especially in the playoffs, that's going to add another layer to it. I think the Sun's absolute best chance to get out of the series is in two, because I think if it gets to three, you're flipping a coin at that point. I mean, I think they're a clear favorite to me in the first two games, regardless of how the first one goes. But if it gets to a third, all bets are off at that point to me.
Yeah. It's like, you know, obviously, so I went to the second game, the second Fever game at Mohegan Sun, and there were still a lot of Indiana fans, and or just Caitlin Clark fans. Tough to say. There were a lot of Iowa jerseys happening, but you know, that home crowd matters, and also not having however many several more thousand people would be in there screaming definitely matters too. I think one other thing that I noticed in that, just like in looking at box scores across the different games, was that the Sun, their free throw attempts were way down in that last game at Gamebridge. I'm wondering if you think there's a secret to like making sure that they're getting those. Obviously they were having a lot of trouble hitting them early on. They've been better about that, but you know, what's the secret to making sure that they're getting those kind of easy buckets against a team that they're going to be sprinting around a lot against on defense?
Yeah, I think that's where Dejanay becomes really, really essential. I mean, she's been so good this year at getting to the line. She is, I mean, clearly their best downhill threat. And I think she's gotten a lot more efficient on her free throws, which has been really big for her in the second half of the season. So I think, yeah, her being able to get to the line, again, I think it's a thing you have to establish early too. You know, if you can kind of get refs looking for things early, if you can get a team off balance early, if you can get them, you know, playing in a way where they're trying not to get pick up fouls, that is always going to set you up for more success, especially against a team like Indy that is extremely young, you know, has a second year post player and a third year post player with Aaliyah and Melissa, you know. So I think it's a team where you have to exploit, you know, mistakes and things like that. So that's, yeah. And I think it comes down to Breezy too. You know, it's a big thing for Breezy in the post to be able to draw fouls, to be able to, you know, Aaliyah Boston has a couple of inches on her. And that, you know, is not, you know, she's a second year player, but you know, that is not a post player to trifle with.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, she will have her work cut out for her. And I think, you know, her winning that battle is super, super important as well.
Yeah. And I feel like that's one of a handful of, you know, those matchups that I'm really looking forward to watching. I think I'm really interested to see, you brought up, Mitchell earlier and like the importance of shutting her down, especially with the way that she's been playing. I'm so curious about what's going to end up happening on the defensive end, and then also, you know, on the flip side, on the other side of the ball, on the offensive end, like who ends up being in that matchup, and you know what Stephanie White decides to do there, because I feel like that's another like really important spot of like, yeah, how these games are going to go.
Yeah, I was just talking about this with somebody the other day. You know, I think for me, if I'm, you know, I'm not a coach for a reason, but if I'm a coach, I feel like you'd almost rather have Dejanay on Mitchell, because I think Mitchell is the bigger direct scoring threat. You know, Caitlin in their offense right now, obviously, you know, can still go for 30 at will, but also, you know, she's looking more to pass. Their system is for her to facilitate right now. And so, you know, I think someone like Ty is, you know, a perfectly capable perimeter defender to be able to kind of disrupt those lanes and things like that. And then, you know, you have someone like Dejanay who's forcing turnovers and really, you know, disrupting, you know, shooting patterns and stuff with somebody like Mitchell, who has, I mean, really just been automatic since the break. Like this team is not the sixth seed for sure if she doesn't play the way that she has since the break. So I think that's such a key here. Because I think she's more stoppable than Caitlin too, I will say. I think Caitlin has more tools in her box than I think Kelsey. Like, Kelsey is such a pure scorer that if you can stop her from doing that, it takes her out of the game in a lot of ways. And with Caitlin, that's much less the case. If she's not scoring, I think there's so many other areas of the offense that she's able to impact effectively.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I also think, like, the addition of Veronica Burton like makes a huge difference in this too, right? Like I remember Dejanay talking in one of her post-game reports, like her post-game press conferences, about just how absolutely exhausting it is to be a complete lockdown defender for an entire game. And I feel like in terms of making sure that she's still that big downhill threat, especially you know, off of turnovers and off of other like defensive stops, like having Burton there to carry some of that defensive load. Like you said, yeah, Ty Harris is obviously a very capable defender, but like you're talking about like defensive specialists, right? Like Dejanay and Burton together is a huge deal for just finding ways to try your best to stop this Indiana offense that's just been rolling lately.
Yeah, and it gives you some options too, I think, with Marina, who obviously is not as defensively minded as the rest of these guards. I think, you know, they knew that when they made the move for her, but I think having someone like Veronica, who is in that second rotation, is familiar playing with her, and where, you know, you can take Dejanay off, have Marina be in at the two, have Ty also, you know, you know, keep those rotations together and still have someone who not only can facilitate, but also is, you know, not as capable as Dejanay, but on a similar, you know, able to contend with players at a similar level. And she's familiar with Caitlin plenty from her college days. That's a Big Ten alum right there. So I think it would not surprise me if we see a lot of Veronica Burton minutes, especially with Marina when they're moving through that group.
Yeah, and I'm a big Burton fan. In part
as a Boston guy, yeah.
As I say, yeah, you know, she's from close by. Actually, when the trade first happened, I was talking to, it was like around the time of the first episode, and Noah joined for my very first episode, and she was saying that she like played college, like high school basketball in like the same spaces as Burton. I was like, that's so cool and like so fun just to have somebody like, you know, just like from the region, from the area on the team. I love having a hometown player on the team. So
yeah, and you've really got exciting. One UConn's got a Bostonian too with Caroline, so you've got a bunch of them down here.
Yeah, it's a good time for me. You know, I've obviously, this is a Sun show, so I've been focusing on the advantages and how the you know, the ways that the Sun are gonna win this series. But what do you think are some of the Sun's biggest weaknesses in this matchup? What are the ways that they could end up losing this matchup against the Fever?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Sun's biggest problem has been the Sun's biggest problem all year, and it's that they're not consistent offensively, and they're not consistent within games, I think is the even bigger aspect of that. You know, they don't sort of have a hot game and a cold game. They have a hot quarter and a cold quarter. And that's really, really dangerous in a playoff scenario, first of all, and second of all, against a team like Indiana, especially that can just score at will when they're hot. You know, it's a game can get away from you so, so fast. And the Sun, I mean, just straight up don't have the offensive weapons to go shot for shot with somebody like Indiana. It's just not going to happen. So if they get into that scenario, it's a losing formula for them every time. You know, obviously they've shown in two of the previous meetings, they're perfectly capable of stopping Indiana. But, you know, I think they have to do that for a full game. And I feel like we've seen it so rarely in so many of these, you know, games that they've managed to even get out of. Have sort of been, okay, somebody comes in clutch in the last 2 minutes and makes a play, you know, and you saw it go the other way for them against Minnesota. And I feel like that was really one of the first times that they've had a super close game like that fall on the other side. Mm-hmm. And the other that I can think of is that most recent Indiana game, which was a 4-point spread. It was lots of back and forth swings at the end, and it fell on the side that had the scorers. And so I think, you know, that the way that they've played down the stretch from that perspective makes me very nervous. You know, the Chicago game looks good on paper. But I don't know how much you really want to brag about beating Chicago without all five of their best players, maybe.
Like, yeah. I think they had like, you know, eight players total on the bench. Like,
so and you know, two of them were on your team 2 months ago. So, you know, it just, you know, I think they haven't played the way that I hope to see them play against the big teams in the last couple of weeks here. I think after that win at New York, nothing has really impressed me. And that makes you nervous in the postseason. It doesn't feel like they're hitting a peak right now.
Yeah. And it's one of those things like, I also work on a Celtics podcast, and one thing that we were talking about there was about like in this past NBA season, the Denver Nuggets, like the, you know, 2 years ago, they kind of lulled their way into the playoffs and then took off in the playoffs. And then this past year, like they lulled their way into the playoffs and then stayed lulled throughout it. So I feel like, you know, the optimistic fan in me is like, it's like, nope, you know, it's just, they're ready for the postseason. They're going to be pumped. They're going to be jacked. They're going to be ready for it. And then the, you know, the cynical, absolutely afraid fan in me is like, oh God, did we peak, you know, just before the All-Star break? And is it all downhill from there?
Yeah. And I think that's something, frankly, that they've been reckoning with down the stretch too. I mean, you saw in that Minnesota game, I mean, there were frustrations in those middle quarters when things were really kind of going off the rails for a while. You know, you could see, you know, players are coming over to the bench, our defense effing sucks, like, you know, bickering at each other. Like, I mean, you could feel the sort of anxiety of it. And I think, you know, like they're not happy with it. They're veterans. They understand that this is not, that it's not going to be good enough. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see them come out with kind of a postseason fire. But I also think, you know, it's really, really hard to be, you know, the organization that has been to the playoffs 8 times in a row and can't get over the hump. And once again, isn't a favorite. You're sort of just consistently the third best team. And so I think it's really, really hard to, you know, when you're coming into a series like this, where Indiana's getting all the hype, you know, everybody's saying nobody wants to play Indiana. And that's true. That's not for no reason, but you know, I think there's an element to that for the Sun of like, you wonder mentally if they're kind of in a place to really challenge that narrative.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think most people listening to this show are hoping that they are. I know that I am. You know, I think, I'm just looking through my own notes from like my previous preview here. In the previous matchups, the Sun have been able to make a bunch of get turnovers out of the Fever, but also they go through these spells of committing a bunch of their own turnovers too. Do you think that is one of those things that is like a frustration thing, a disorganization thing? Do you think it's something that like, it's like a such a sports cliche, but is it like a, you know, once they lock in, it'll be different? Like, what do you think is part of the story around these turnovers? Cause, I feel like, I know now I'm just like waxing poetic, but I feel like they don't commit like your normal turnovers. It's always like, we got a massive offensive board and then just threw it straight into the hands of another player. Like, what do you think helps with some of that stuff? And like, how do they avoid that?
Yeah, I mean, you saw, like, even against Chicago, there was that, you know, Alicia Clark-esque moment that DeJounte had on the inbound. So, I think it's one of those things where it just, like, and you've heard, you know, Steph White talk about this, too. I think it comes down to just sort of a consistency thing of, you know, when things aren't going their way offensively, I think they have a really hard time getting out of kind of the funk of that. Like they kind of will get stuck into ruts until there's a big rotation or until they can get into a timeout or something. You know, they just they get into these slumps that they sort of can't break down. And I think part of it is that, you know, like AT is a very expressive player with her body language. DeJounte is a very expressive player with her body language. DeJuana is a very expressive player with her body language. And so I think they all feed off of each other so much. You know, you can see like when the energy is really high, everybody picks it up. But as soon as somebody is pissed off or frustrated or irritated a ref or whatever, you can feel it affect everyone else too. And so I think that's going to be their challenge against Indiana is A, not letting Indiana get into their heads because Indiana's quite good at doing that. and just, yeah, I mean, I think it's just sort of a discipline thing. They have to just let the offense come the way it's going to come. They have to, you know, and again, I think it's, you know, AT and Caitlin are very similar in that players who make a lot of really fun assists are turnover prone. You know, it just sort of comes with the territory. Like, they've both been turnover prone their entire careers. I think right now they're number one and number two in assists and they're number one and number two in turnovers. and so like that just sort of is something that you have to accept with a player that plays like that. Then what you need is for everybody else not to make the dumb mistakes, you know, like the silly fouls, the like, just, yeah, you can't do the weird stuff in games like this. If you're going to turn the ball over, it has to be Indiana's making a play to do that. You know, they can't hurt themselves. And I think that's been their biggest issue in most of the big games that they've lost this year, is that they've hurt themselves more than anyone else has really done anything to them.
Yeah. Even just you talking about, like, you mentioned the silly foul, it just has me thinking about, you know, obviously this Chicago game, it was like they were going to win the Chicago game, but there were like two technical fouls, and like I think one of them was like arguing about the 3-second violation. And it's like, but you're so right about the energy. Like, I've seen so many cute tweets about like Dejanay like taking ridiculous selfies with DB and AT in the background of it, and everyone's like, she's like their annoying daughter that they love and they don't understand how they ended up with her. But you're right that like their energy is so in sync, and like,
yeah,
that can be great at times and can be so scary at times. So
yeah, it really is a blessing and a curse. Like when it's good, it is game changing for them. I mean, when AT, you can feel like when AT gets going, that it changes the vibe for everybody. But when AT is not happy, you can tell, and everybody on the floor can tell. And I think it makes it hard sometimes when they hit those slumps to find a path out of it. I think they like to have a plan, and adapting can be challenging. And that's something Steph said yesterday, was that she felt like they didn't, you know, but the coaching staff, even not just the players, didn't adapt quickly enough in that loss to Indiana to the way Indy was doing. So I think, you know, hopefully this time, I think they're coming into it with sort of, you know, having done the research and experienced both how to beat this team and how to lose to this team. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Truly. Okay. We've talked at length about this series, and now it's time to ask the big question, which is your prediction. What do you think is the outcome of this round one matchup?
I think I'm going to take the Sun in two, because I think I like the Sun to get to the second round. It feels like it's so, you know, if they don't make the finals, even they're the first team to start the way that they started and not get to the finals. So even that is a big deal. I just think, you know, your first playoffs is different. The postseason is different. They talk about this at every level, you know, mm-hmm. any sport. It's just true. And as much as the Fever have gotten hot in the end of the regular season, you know, they got hot doing something that was familiar. And I think now, you know, almost no one on this Indiana team has been to a postseason, and I don't think any of them have been with Indiana. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a fundamentally new experience for all of these players. And I think the Sun don't need adjustment time on that front. So I think, you know, they can come out, put away game one. I expect game two will be a little dicier. but I think, you know, they've won so many of those close games that in a crunch time scenario like this, where it is win or go home, they pull it out. I stand by what I said earlier. If they drop either of the first two, all bets are off. I don't predict in a third game other than madness.
Yeah. That's so fair. I'm with you. I'm Sun in two. And oh god, I don't want to have to watch them play in Indiana. So
I will say, for me personally, I selfishly, you know, I covered South Carolina before I was at in Connecticut. I was sitting courtside for the 2023 Final Four when they were eliminated by Caitlin Clark's Iowa. I was sitting courtside at the 2024 Final Four when UConn was eliminated by Caitlin Clark's Iowa. So I would really like to see another one of my teams not eliminated by a Caitlin Clark team. That would just really make my job a lot easier. So I have a slight rooting interest here.
Yeah, that's very fair. Before I let you go, I did want to talk just a little bit about, you know, the regular season awards are coming up. The Sun are, you know, have their campaign going for Dejanay for both most improved and all defensive team. I can't remember now. Now I'm like totally blanking. They're not pushing for defensive player of the year. They're pushing for all defensive team.
It's kind of the both thing. Said defensive player of the year, but I think, you know, if we're being serious, we're talking about all defensive team.
Yeah. So, you know, tell me what you think about her odds for either both of those awards, and kind of what you're thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a good year for the awards. I mean, I feel like kind of outside of MVP, there really is a conversation for everything. I don't feel like there's a lot of sort of clear-cut winners beyond, you know, the big one, obviously. yeah. I think, yeah, I mean, when you look at the all-defensive team, you know, you have Asia and Fee are kind of, you know, the standouts representing the post, but I really don't think there's been a better one-on-one defensive guard this year than Dejanay. I mean, she's matched up with just about every shooter in the league and held them below their season averages just about every time. And I think for me, I mean, and this is where we start to talk about most improved player, you know, I think her offense is clearly where she's improved the most. I mean, and Steph has talked about this a lot. Like, she's just gotten so much more confident driving to the basket. She's so much more consistent. She's, you know, really as efficient as she's ever been this year. So, you know, I think she's been such an important part of making their offense even functional a lot of the time. You know, her being able to get to the line truly has saved them in some games. And that's, you know, just not a dimension that her game, I feel like, had to the same degree last year. And yeah, I mean, on the defensive front, I think, you know, she's always been, you know, elite in that aspect. That's why the Sun drafted her. That's what attracted them to her in the first place. But I mean, it's just taken it to another level this year. And I think it's the exposure that she's gotten from having had, I mean, truly that one opening game against Caitlin set her on this trajectory for all of this, which I think is really cool. You know, that game really was so hyped as the Caitlin Clark debut. You know, it was a sellout at Mohegan. We had 90 media in attendance. And it really ended up being her sort of coming out party as the breakout star of the season for them. So, yeah, I think it's, I mean, incredibly deserved, both of them, obviously. I think most improved, there's obviously just so many options for that this year. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the tighter races, quite honestly. But I'm not a voter. If I was, my vote would have been for her. She would certainly be on my all-defensive team. And I'll be very surprised if she doesn't end up on that one. Mm-hmm. Just because I think among the guards, I mean, she's clearly been such a standout. And yeah, I feel like the post players are where you've got really a battle to figure out.
Yeah.
I did not envy those with ballots making those calls. but yeah, I mean, I think it's, I think we'll probably see AT on the all defensive team as well. And I would hope on all WNBA teams. I think that first or second team is going to be a sort of an interesting spot to see where she lands there. It seems like she's on on sort of that fifth spot bubble for a lot of people between her and NECA and Sabrina. You know, there's kind of a handful of folks that I've seen in that clear four that seems to be established.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's obviously a slightly less decorated year for them than last year was with AT.
Yep.
But yeah, I think Dejanay really has been such a breakout star for them this season. And they really needed that with kind of the impending free agency of it all. I think they needed to have an idea of what the future looks like, and she's really, really given them that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Emily, thank you so, so much for joining the show. I'm so excited.
Absolutely.
To, you know,
yes. Thank you for having
meet you
me
virtually. And yeah, it's so great to have you on. I'm hoping this is the first of many times that you join the show.
Yes, absolutely.
And obviously, if listeners want to find Emily's work, they can look through the show notes of any episode we've ever put out. But Emily, where should folks be looking to hear more from you?
Everything that I write is online at current.com for the Hartford Current. It's also in print if you're in the Connecticut area. And I also post most of my work on Twitter at EAAdams6. That's my main professional outlet. And I also tweet about the Eagles a lot. So that is an unfortunate symptom for those who are listening from Boston. If you follow.
Well, incredible. I will be sure to put those links in the show notes. Unfortunate thing about the Eagles, but that's okay. And Emily, thank you again. Thank you again for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks so much to Emily Adams for joining us. If you've listened to this show in the past, you know that I lean heavily on Emily's work covering The Sun and The Current, so I highly suggest that you check out her work, and I'll be sure to drop a link in the show notes. Now, all we can do is watch the games. If you think of a question as you're watching, or want to share a celebration, or need to air a frustration, give us a call at 617-903-7683, leave us a voicemail, and you can hear your voice on the show. You can also send a video or a voice memo to ctsunpod@gmail.com. If you're new to the show, welcome! To make sure you don't miss a new episode, be sure to subscribe wherever you get podcasts. If you're a regular listener, share it with someone you meet at the game today, or someone that you watch it with at home. It'll help other Sun fans find the show and help me get more great interviews like the one you just listened to. Thanks so much for listening to this episode, and I'll talk to you all after the game right here on Here Come the Sun.